Lord, it is good for us to be here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Keep your eye on the prize. You may have often heard of this expression, perhaps even only a few weeks ago. This expression, once again, means to remain focused on a particular goal or award, especially when the path to it is long or arduous. A few weeks ago, on Septuagesima Sunday, we heard St. Paul exhort his listeners to run in order to win the incorruptible crown, the crown of eternal life, awaiting all who die in the state of grace. These words were meant to fire you up, to warn you in advance of this race in which you would all partake in your spiritual life. Now we find that Lent has already begun. We are in the middle of this race, and it is tiring. That is why we need to be encouraged again to remember what we came to run for. The transfiguration of our Lord, which we have heard today in the Gospel, is actually prefaced by one of his promises. Right before this episode, he told his disciples the tough facts, the truth that being a disciple is easier said than done. If any man would come after me, he instructed them, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But as a sort of consolation, he comforts them, saying that there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. These some standing here were in fact Peter, James, and John. Privileged disciples they were indeed, to witness firsthand our Lord manifesting the brightness of his glory, seeing his face shining as the sun, and his garments as white as snow. Despite all the wondrous things they saw, what they saw was not God himself, but rather just his glory. God told Moses in the book of Exodus that you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Why did Jesus show his glory to these disciples? He wanted to show them the prize. He wanted them to keep their eyes on it. After all, he told them some very difficult things only a few days before, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And on top of that, in order to be his disciple, they must follow him and take up that very cross. In showing them his transfigured state, Jesus showed his disciples the glory that awaited them should they remain faithful. This was a foretaste of heaven, and it already exceeded human imagination. Before such splendor, before the glory of God, who wouldn't reply like Peter? Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is natural to seek that which is good, especially the ultimate good, which is God. The only problem, then, is to want to stay there forever, to make three tenths, like Peter suggested. Peter wanted to make that glory permanent. Why bother going on preaching the kingdom of God, for it is now in its glory? Why the nonsense about going to Jerusalem to be crucified? The Venerable Fulton Sheen observes that moments come in the history of the Church where, like Peter, the Church wants glory. No penance, no combat, no more lashes under God's correcting hands. Some followers of Christ want only raptures, but no harassing details. An Easter without a Good Friday. And these words about capturing glory without a cross were spoken in the same scene where our Lord discoursed about his death. Yes, if you were to read St. Luke's version of these same events, you would find that while the disciples saw Moses and Elias conversing with the transfigured Jesus, they came to speak of the things that our Lord would suffer, to speak of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. In spite of the dazzling glory of the Transfiguration, all that was in the light of the cross to come. Dear faithful, as we already begin the second week of this Lenten season, many of you may find your Lenten practices going very well. You might be making great progress on attacking your dominant fault, in growing in the virtues, and in a deeper prayer life. Or perhaps you may find this Lent difficult. You might be slipping up and having difficulty putting into practice the good resolutions which you made on Ash Wednesday. God sees the state of our souls, with its successes and failures, with its joys and its worries. It may be in his good pleasure to manifest himself in a special way to the soul as he manifested his glory to the disciples by according a spiritual consolation, a certain sensible sweetness in response to our efforts of prayer and mortification. This is meant to encourage us in our Lenten practices, to give that little sugar which helps the medicine for the soul go down. When we are aware of these consolations, it is fitting to reply with Peter, "Lord, it is good for us to be here, to be in your presence, and to thank God for his little gift he makes to us. But if we still feel dry and find it hard to pray and follow our resolutions, let us thank God all the same, because he knows that it is better for our souls that way. Let us not try to build our little tents and try to prolong our feeling of sensible devotion, but instead to renew our commitment to our spiritual plan for Lent, to continue marching without fail to the cross, which is our only hope and our salvation. And so, through this cross, to reach the God of consolation, rather than fixating ourselves to the consolations of God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.